Welcome to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. What you are about to hear may make you laugh, it may make you cry, it may make you shake in your boots. Two prison gods talking about strange things in the night they may never understand. And here are your hosts, Tom and Joe.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is, damn it.
Yeah, fucked it up. Shades of the first episode.
Shit. You would have thought I would have been getting better by now.
No. And listen, as long as we're getting worse, we're having fun with it. We're good.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 6 of the Ghost Hacks Podcast. I am Ghost Joe.
And I'm Tom.
And listen, everybody, we got a great, great show for you tonight. Every other episode was crap.
I'm glad you started here.
No, we have an awesome thing. We have a little update that Tom's going to give us about his paranormal experience that he had in the prison that he works in. Also, we have an interview later with J.K. Woodward, who is a comic book artist, a very prominent comic book artist. As well as a voicemail that a good friend, a new good friend of ours, who hosts two podcasts called Land of the Creeps and Phantom Galaxy. His name is Bill Van Vagel, and he had a couple questions for us. So we're going to be answering that for you as well. So I guess we'll kick it off with you, Tom, telling us about the update.
Okay. First off, I'd like to tell the 12 people that are listening, we're going to get back to live recording in the same room soon. The COVID scare is almost over, because you can actually hear the difference in the Zoom recording than the first couple of episodes we did. And it's a noticeable difference, and I apologize for that. Damn me and getting the corona. For those that hadn't listened to the first episode, I had an experience where the third floor of the nursery building, I work in a female jail, the third floor of that building is allegedly haunted. And when I was working a midnight one night and I walked past that building, I saw a shadow figure and lights on where there weren't supposed to be lights on. Well, quick update. As you well know, we're in the holiday season. We're in Corona. So staffing is at a premium. I had to send somebody up there the other day. I was the staffing supervisor. And I had to send somebody up to the nursery, and I wound up sticking them for 10 hours. Yeah. Yeah, I can see your face right now. Oh, you bastard, you stuck somebody. This is a really good guy. He's one of those guys that works on the job. We all call him Junior, right? And he's one of those guys that everybody loves. The minute you meet him, you love this guy. You know what I mean? So he comes down to me a couple days later after I had him up there for 10 hours. He comes down the other and he goes, yeah, man, I think I was tired. I was hearing stuff left and right. People were knocking on the door. I kept opening the door. There was nobody there. I could have sworn I heard footsteps down the gallery where we don't have any inmates lodged. So I'm like, yeah, Junior, that's funny, huh? You're playing with me. You've heard the podcast. Ghost Joe, my hand to God, the guy looks at me dead in the face. He goes, what podcast? So I sent the poor guy up there, 10 hours. He's hearing on the door. He keeps thinking that somebody's coming back from chow. He opens the door. There's nobody there.
Oh, wow.
Three times he said he did that. And the one of the galleries, he said he swore there was footsteps down, and we had no inmates down that gallery. So the legend continues.
That's crazy.
At our nursery.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. I'm going to actually have some updates because I had talked to my father. Well, my father listened to the podcast and he had actually.
Sorry, Dad.
He had given me some updates about my very first experience when I was a kid in the Palmanok apartment building. So I just want to get all my facts straight with that. I'm not going to tell you guys that just yet.
We got to Google that address, dude.
Yeah. Well, he had actually said, now, I know my dad's telling me the truth about this, but I don't know if where he got the information from is telling him the truth. But what he was saying was that it's right out of the Poltergeist, that apparently that apartment building was built on an Indian burial ground. Because Palmanok, is that an Indian name? Palmanok?
In Queens? Sure.
I mean, I don't know. But I'm not very good with history.
I know there was the Canarsie Indians, but I don't know that there was any tribes in Queens.
Right, right. We'll do some research on that.
Even if it was a regular burial ground, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, just that.
Yeah.
I'll have more updates on that as well. Also, in a future episode, I'm also going to be talking about, apparently, my friend Nat, who is a faithful listener of ours, and I've known him since high school. He was very unhappy with my coverage of exorcisms in the last episode.
No kidding?
Yeah, he was upset because all we did was focus on the negative of it, and we didn't actually go with the positive aspects of it. I'm sure that exorcisms have helped a lot of people. Now, were these people actually demonically possessed? Probably most of them weren't. You know, but the mind is a crazy thing. So if somebody is having is mentally ill and wholeheartedly believing that they're demonically possessed, and there's a priest that's doing an exorcism, the mind works in crazy ways. You know, if the priest is telling this guy, all right, you're healed, there's no more demon, he might feel better after that. But I'm going to have more information about that. Actually, I want him to call into our hotline at 845-379-1331.
Segue.
And talk to us a little bit more about, what I fucked up. Because my thing is, you know, we're prison guards. We don't like to do a lot of work. And so because of my mistake, I'm going to make him work. So also, I would like to extend an awesome thank you to our podcast editor. I found him on Fiverr. His name is Alex. I'm gonna put his link and information in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely.
This guy is awesome. He makes us sound much better than we really sound.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if you should put his link in because he does such good work. I don't want him to get too busy.
That's true.
That he's got no time for us no more.
You're right. No, he's a very, very nice guy. He's affordable. He's very reliable, professional, quick response, quick turnaround. I mean, the guy is awesome. So, you know, very, very happy with him. And we're going to be using him probably a lot more down the line. So thanks a lot, Alex.
Yes, thank you.
Please welcome accomplished comic book artist who has inked many comic books and series like Fallen Angel, Star Trek The Next Generation from IDW Publishing, Necronomicon from Boom Studios, and X-Men Origins The Beast from Marvel. Please welcome Mr. J.K. Woodward.
Woo! Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, just a little FYI, Ghost Joe. J.K. took pity on us to come here only because I've known him for like 30 years. There is no way we get a guy of this caliber on our podcast.
It pays to be my roommate.
Yeah. Poor bastard had to live with me in Hollywood.
We appreciate it, man. We really appreciate it.
Oh, as I said before the show, I heard the first episode and enjoyed it, so I'm happy to be here.
Well, you know, and Joe, our little intro about JK, you know, that he does work on Star Trek The Next Generation and whatnot, but it doesn't go on to tell us that the man is not only a comic book artist, but he's like, he does the Star Trek cruises, but not, yeah, not as like, oh, this is some wackadoo we got drawing some pictures on the side. The guy's on the panel with the people from Star Trek. He's so big. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It helps that I do the promo poster for the cruise. And then that's kind of what got my foot in the door. But, and that I'm a hilarious drunk on stage.
I was just told also you would say that you have a podcast as well. Would you like to shout that out?
Yeah, I have a weekly podcast, or most of the time it's weekly, called Go Trek Yourself. And we talk about the new Star Trek episodes that are coming out. Right now we're talking about the new season of Discovery, but before that we were talking about the Lower Decks. And basically there's going to be some form of Star Trek out every week all year round now. So we have a full-time job.
That's great. That's great. That's hard. It's hard to come by with the whole coronavirus pandemic thing going on too. So.
Well, by full-time job, I mean, we don't get paid for it.
Well, then you've got a full-time job like us. Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't tried to monetize it because I'm so busy with my illustration work that I can't be confined to a schedule. So like I said, we're supposed to be weekly, but every once in a while we'll skip a week or something. And I couldn't do that if I was getting paid for it.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Joe, when I first got separated, not even divorced, years ago, and this is got to be 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I'm sleeping on my parents' couch in Brooklyn, and I text JK, and I'm like, hey, man, you know, we're both back in the same city. What are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm recording my podcast tonight. Why don't you come down and guest on it?
Bro, yep. Back when we had a guest podcast for, you know, mostly just comic book people called JK's Happy Hour. And we'd go to Dominie's Hook, which was a bar in Queens, right in, what was the name of that neighborhood? Long Island City.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was right across the Pulaski Bridge, so it wasn't that far from Brooklyn, actually. And yeah, basically we'd just go to the bar and like people, you know, in the middle of an interview, people would come up to us, hey JK, what's up? Because we literally be out in public doing this thing, but it had an authenticity to it and we had fun.
He was sitting at the bar with his partner, they're talking everything. And all you heard was like me in the corner. I can't believe she left me. Like every 12 minutes, I don't know what I'm going to do now.
it helped with the comic beats.
Right. I'm sure.
Oh, wait. Let me stop. Julie, if you're listening, I'm sorry. It's just a joke. And.
You know
not
what?
Not true at all.
You've done pretty good up to now, though, Tom. I think the last time you actually apologized to her was in the first episode. So I think you're doing pretty good. Yeah.
If my count was right, you apologized to her three times. Because you kept fucking up.
Yeah. Oh, thankfully she listens and gets a kick out of it.
Oh, that's.
Yeah, I'm not going to be back in court.
All right. So I guess the reason why you're on the show also is because you said that you had some paranormal experiences. But before we get into that, I just want to ask you a couple questions about the whole comic book thing. Sure. Yeah, so, I mean, how long have you been doing that? How long have you been a comic book artist?
You know, it's kind of a lifelong obsession, but I would say I can track professionally. First paycheck I got for doing comics was probably 2004. And it was a book called, it was CSI New York, Gary Sinise, a comic adaptation of the show, a 4-issue miniseries. While I was on issue 3 of that, I got contacted by Peter David. And he was doing his own creator-owned series that used to be at DC Comics that IDW had acquired because he held onto the rights. So they were rebooting it for IDW. It was called Fallen Angel. And that was supposed to be a 5-issue miniseries, just a special, but somewhere around issue 4, it seemed to be doing pretty good, so we decided to keep it going as an ongoing series. I ended up doing that for 3 years, only taking a break to do X-Men Origins in 2008. And then from there, it all led into Star Trek, and I'm pretty much known for science fiction preliminary, mostly Star Trek. And been doing that since. And usually it's in the form of maxi series. Like I'll do an 8-issue series, then take a few months off and then do another one, stuff like that. But it afforded me a lot of cool things to do creatively. Like I created a mirror universe for the Next Generation guys. I got to do a crossover with Doctor Who, things like that, which have been a lot of fun. Things you can only do in comics that you could never do in TV.
Right, right.
I never get tired.
And then, like that's what Tom said, that led to things like working for CBS directly, which led to gigs like The Cruise, which is a great way to get paid to be drunk.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know how you do that, you know, with the whole drawing thing, because I have trouble drawing stick figures. So I give you a lot of credit for that, because
it doesn't come naturally, really, because, you know, when I think about it, I look at the improvements I've made just in the last, say, 15 years or so, and it's because as a professional, you're getting up at like 5 a.m. and work until about 10 p.m. every day. You very rarely get a weekend or a day off unless you go to a Comic-Con. So it's definitely, you got to put the work in. That's how it happens. Like anything else, I suppose, you know.
Joe, when we shared an apartment in Hollywood, JK used to do these huge, and he just put them back up on his Instagram. He just found them.
Yes, the old 90s paintings.
These old 90s paintings, dude, and they huge, and it was a series called Digital God, if I'm correct?
Yep, that was one okay. of them.
And they were so creepy, man. He'd be out like at a party. I'd turn him around, you know, face the wall before I went to sleep.
Yeah, a lot of my influences back then were very like Clive Barker and H.R. Giger and just, you know, the whatever's in between, H.P. Lovecraft. Yeah. So I was doing some pretty dark stuff, but I was disguising it as science fiction when really it was horror.
Yeah, and then he did the, I know, I'm going to go get famous. I'm going to go to Germany and do it.
Yeah, Germany was what kind of started the comics career accidentally. I think I had just given up on comics and was just painting on canvas for, you know, just whatever I wanted to do. And it caught the attention of a German record producer that wanted to use one of the paintings. And then over a couple of years, it led to more and more work. And then I ended up moving out there and just working directly for them. And a companion piece that went along with a record they were putting out, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we just saddle stitch it and do it like a comic book? So it's a series of paintings, but it's in pamphlet form, like a comic, a 32 page standard American comic format. And it got mistaken for a comic, obviously. Because it looked just like one, and caught the attention of a couple of writers when I went to San Diego Comic-Con that year from Germany. And that's what got me back into it. That's what got me doing like some independent work and stuff, which eventually led to the CSI New York. It's all weird how I got into it.
I'm jealous. Hashtag. Me and Ghost Joe were in jail during those years for 8 hours a day.
wait. Which years was that?
If you make a young joke, I swear I'm going to come over there and hit you. I swear to God.
So I guess the last comic book question I got for you, actually. If you could have done the artwork for any comic book ever, which one would that have been for you?
Oh, God. It's so hard to pick one. I mean, I got to fulfill a lot of dreams. I did some like covers for Star Trek Green Lantern. I love the crossover stuff. So it's hard to say because I've done so much that I'm kind of grateful for. I mean, the X-Men was a big bucket list thing, and I got to do the X-Men Origin Beast, but I would love to play with some of the newer characters. This was a retelling of an origin story you know, basically the 60s origin story, but set in the 80s, you know, just kind of updated. So I never really got to draw the X-Men too much or any of the new characters. So probably, you know, any X-Men book with anything after Giant Size X-Men number one, any of those characters.
And you're leaving out the greatest crossover ever, X-Men Teen Titans, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was a Walt Simonson art. Yeah,
yeah, it Chris was.
Claremont, Walt Simonson, yeah, that blew my mind. I think I was 12 when that came out.
12, yeah. Because yeah. I went yeah. to a Comic-Con that year, and Claremont was there, and my dad yeah. took me, and I couldn't even talk to the guy. I was in awe that this came out of you.
And I love the art in that, too, and that was Walt Simonson before anybody really knew who he was. It was pre-Thor.
Right.
You know, he just did special books like that. He hadn't been put on a series as far as I know. And I was just like, this guy's going somewhere. I loved his art.
Well, he was, correct me if I'm wrong, he was Thor 337, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think that's where he came in. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was
Federated Bill stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Talk about legendary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, look, aside from you being a working artist, which those two titles never, ever go together, right? But you also got to work with Peter David.
Oh, and Harlan legend. Ellison.
And Harlan Ellison. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I eventually met H.R. Giger. It's like, yeah, go down the list of influences. People have influenced me that I've got to meet it, and it's incredible. Not always. Well, actually, I've been lucky because they've all been great experiences. Harlan Ellison, despite... you know, despite what you may have seen with his rants and everything, is actually a nice guy when you get to know him, if he likes you.
Okay.
If he doesn't, right, then, right. you know.
Oh, no,
you don't get to see him that like much.
He definitely Peter David won't like us. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
sorry, I'm pouring from the bottle right now.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm a musician, and I went to the NAMM show a couple of years, like back 10, 11 years ago. And that was kind of the same experience for me where, like, I got to meet some of my idols. And one of the guys that everybody says is the biggest jerk was probably the coolest one that I ever met was Yngwie Malmsteen. Awesome, awesome guitar player. And the one that was a real dick, but he's actually known to be a dick. I was kind of upset because he was always a big idol of mine is Dave Mustaine. He really upset me that time because I was like, you know what? I never want to meet this guy ever again. He was an asshole. He didn't look up at you. Like, he didn't even want to be bothered.
It's scary meeting your heroes. I mean, because you never know what you're going to get, you know, because it can be devastating when you walk away, you know, and like, oh, that was, it's an experience you dream about your whole life. And then if it's a miserable experience, it kind of wasted all that time dreaming about it. But I had that experience with John Byrne that I thought was going to be bad. But again, he turned out to be a really decent guy. He's a little ball busting, and that's how I liked him. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he kept referring to me. He's like, "Keep up the mediocre work, James." He kept.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Oh, I was giving it right back to him though.
All right, so. Okay. Yeah, so let's get into the paranormal thing, man. So are you like a paranormal enthusiast? Or you just
that's why we're here.
Yeah, man.
You know, I forgot.
I'll say I'm definitely a critical thinker and a skeptic, but I'm fascinated with it. I love shows like X-Files and Blue Book. I love reading about you know, urban myths from whatever countries because it's kind of in the horror genre most of the time, and I kind of dig it. And the fact that it could be real gives it an extra dimension. Now, like I said, I'm a skeptic. I mean, I've had what I thought was a ghost experience when I was a kid. But again, being a skeptical thinker, I come up with like 10 other reasons, 10 other explanations of what that really was every time. So I might be putting a Scully on your molder here, but but to say I'm an enthusiast is very accurate. Yeah. in fact, when one of my first experiences when I was a kid, I just remember feeling trapped when I was waking up, feeling trapped in bed, and this swishing noise going over me, and these shadowy figures almost picture like Spider-Man in the black costume without any of the eyes or anything. It was just these black figures, and they just kept going under the bed and then over me and under me and making this swishing noise the whole time. And nothing seemed more real in my life. I knew it wasn't a dream, although it could have been, because I started, I started learning a little bit more about what possible ghost encounters could be. And one of them is like this, the sleep paralysis, which is pretty much what I just described, a very vivid dream and not being able to move, where you're still in REM sleep, even though your eyes are open and your brain hasn't released the controls to your body yet. So you're just kind of stuck there. So I always wonder if maybe that was it. But it was a very intense, very vivid, very visceral experience.
Was that recurring or was it just like a one-time deal?
It happened. It hasn't happened since I was a little kid. I mean, and this was a very early memory. This was like 4 years old or something. Wow. So I didn't even understand what I was experiencing, but I remember it happening again when I was seven, twice. And, it hasn't happened since. Now, if that is a sleep disorder, I have a very different sleep disorder now. I have the kind where
I don't sleep, right? You work constantly and don't sleep and hope to pay the bills. You have that disorder?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I take my stress with me to my dreams, too.
But, my thing is always, whenever I thought about, the whole sleep paralysis thing, is that, you wonder if that's your mind playing tricks on you, or if that's whatever this otherworldly thing is doing that to you, yeah, to make you have sleep paralysis, So that's just always been a thought in my mind. Like I wonder, which one it is that, is that, or it could be both,
mind
is a crazy thing. So
sure. You can apply the scientific method to it and still get both answers. In some sense anyways. In fact, it really can't be any more proven than disproven. You can only kind of go with, I guess if you want to be a critical thinker, you tend to lean on Occam's razor and just say it's more likely this than something supernatural. Or if you're a true believer, then that doesn't, that
it doesn't matter.
You have no problem in believing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but there's a lot of things that could explain, like this, what's it called? Pareidolia. Or dolia, pareidolia, which is the tendency for the human brain to seek things out in patterns. So in a dark room, you can see faces in a pile of clothes, that kind of thing. That happens all the time where I wake up and it's the eeriest feeling in the world and I flick on the light and I'm like, oh, okay.
Wah, wah, wah.
I mean, that's also, honestly, that's like your artist brain working too, Yeah. Like I think it's part of your artist brain working,
Oh, sure. Yeah. Because I'm always looking for ideas to steal, So, and you see it everywhere. It's something natural that we all have that, that's why we see little duckies in the clouds and, and things like that. It's also why there's a evolutionary leftover that we have as a predatory or a prey instinct, a fight or flight thing. We tend to look for faces and everything. So you will find faces and everything. So that's because if you're in the forest and there's a saber-toothed tiger crouching over there, it's kind of like that evolutionary leftover. You need to recognize that right away before you get too close. And so a lot of times you'll look at a stain on the carpet and you'll see the Virgin Mary your brain will do that. It'll make sense out of random images.
Right. So JK, you're up in Maine now. Yes,
I am.
Nice.
Yep, enjoying the winter.
Oh, I bet you are, sir. Long way from LA.
I forgot how much fun shoveling snow is.
Oh, it's especially when you don't have a snowblower like myself, man. Yeah. I moved upstate. We got 18 inches over here, and I needed to borrow my next door neighbor's snowblower because I'm like, I can't do this. This is ridiculous.
I go out there like every couple of hours just to keep up with it. That's the only way.
You get 18 inches a day up there, huh?
Yes. It's Maine.
Yeah, it is. But it's also, the reason why I bring it up, it's also a very old part of America. I mean, when we lived in LA, we were living in very old apartments of 30 years old. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the heyday of Hollywood.
Yeah. 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 You're
the heyday of Hollywood. All those beautiful hotels from the 30s are now shithole apartments for people like us.
Yes. Yeah. And scraping together. All right. These quarters are for rent and those dimes are for bottles of scotch. Yeah. But the reason I bring it up is, now that you've been up there for a minute, have you touched on any experiences with the neighbors, or is there any local legends where you are? I mean, don't tell the town or anything. I know where I know where you are, but and I know it to be very old, you know. As
well, the Saco River here in Freiburg takes out at least three tourists a year because it has this crazy undertow in one part, and there's an old legend that that Fry, this German settler that basically settled this town, was so vicious and cruel to the native people that they put a curse on all the white people. So we come here and the Saco River takes us. So there's lots of things like that. And I know my mother told me a couple more because she actually wrote a book about some of this stuff. And I'll actually get that to you so you can talk about it sometime.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
But it's all very Stephen King, you know, and it's all usually just kind of steeped in Native American lore.
Okay.
And the white man fear of it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the white guilt, whatever it is. But there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. I just remember the one, the river that there, that the river. That's the reason the river takes tourists at least three a year. I think it's from the undertow. But you know, how'd the undertow get there?
Yeah.
There's also I found this place because there's some very interesting people in Portland, Maine. And there's actually a museum there of cryptozoology. So if you're ever in the area, I highly recommend it. It's really small. It's almost roadside, you know, right. In a sense, yeah. But you know, statues of Bigfoot and stuff, but there's all this, you know, evidence whether you're skeptical or not, it's very interesting stuff to look at. I would definitely recommend that. Look it up. I think it's just called the Museum of Cryptozoology.
Okay.
It's just.
And that will be for my July vacation bid. not my winter vacation bid.
And there's a great bar right next to it with a microbrews.
Nice.
So is there any other aspect of the paranormal that I guess either you're skeptic of or that you believe in, you know, meaning either cryptozoology or UFOs, aliens, like how do you feel about all that stuff?
Oh, well, cryptozoology I'm fascinated with, and that's probably because it's the most possible of anything else you talk about, because it's not steeped in supernatural. It's steeped in our lack of understanding or exploration of our whole planet. I mean, there are, I forget what the percentages of our own oceans we haven't explored yet. So God knows what's down there. Right. We didn't think there was anything below a certain. Yeah. It was only in recent history, like within the last 100 years, that we discovered that we never believed creatures could live in a certain depth of the ocean. And we get down there and they got lights on their heads and we're like, what the fuck is this? So a lot has happened in a short time and a lot more can happen. It's very possible. I remember I was watching a special, I can't remember what it was, but it was the Chupacabra, and somebody believed they had found one, but it was a weird hybrid between a Mexican wolf and a coyote that didn't quite work. So it was a weird looking creature, but for all we know, there's a lot more of those out there, and that's what the Chupacabra is.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be, they're not monsters. These are creatures. These are animals.
Well, up by me, the coyotes wound up mating with dogs that got out, or they were left out on the farm overnight. So there's a breed of coy dogs up here.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, and they'll still.
Yeah, coyotes will fuck anything.
Yeah. and these coy dogs will steal your chickens just like anything else, any other chupacabra.
But yeah, there's some cryptozoology that's less likely than others. Some that have been proven to be hoaxes. I believe the Loch Ness Monster, we've finally accepted that was disproven. There's other hoaxes out there, but that doesn't mean there isn't something to it. That doesn't mean there could. Maybe the Sasquatch legend is 99% bullshit, but maybe there is a missing link out there and they're keeping their distance. I mean, like there's theories that what they're really seeing is leftover survivors, Neanderthal survivors. Of course, scientific dogma believes that, or doesn't believe, it's proven within acceptable range, I guess, I don't know. But that that Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal had mated, and basically Neanderthal was mated out. But right. If they had survived and stayed hidden, I don't know. I'm a little more skeptical of that, because how haven't we found them yet? I mean, we are just spreading out and taking over this planet. Yeah. You know, it's hard to believe anything can hide. But there are definitely species out there we haven't discovered yet. Or species, there was a fish we recently discovered that was alive in a that was supposed to be a prehistoric fish. It was supposed to be extinct millions of years ago. It's still down there.
That's they found the coelacanth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's my favorite story. But what about the coelacanth?
So I'd say cryptozoology is probably my favorite, because there's so much to it. You can have your monster stories, but you can also have something that's quite possible. And I'm probably the least skeptical of that. Second is UFOs, obviously, science fiction guy.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm very skeptical. I can't talk. I have too many Manhattans. Skeptical of that more than anything, because there's always a lot of times there's a point of view, a perception problem from the people telling the stories. For instance, I remember a conspiracy theory about NASA lying about these space worms in orbit, and you could just tell it was a piece of ice, maybe, you know, just like a centimeter big near the window, and just because of perspective, it looks the size of Australia.
Right.
Yeah. And they're saying, you know, it's 300 feet from the shuttle, and I'm saying, no, it's a little chunk of ice. So sometimes people don't really question what they're seeing, because it's just, they just want to see what they're seeing. And then other times there's reports where I can't come up with what it could have been, you know. I can't come up with any other explanation, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a UFO either, because I can't explain how David Copperfield made the Statue of Liberty disappear, but I know he didn't do it.
That's for sure. You
know? So yeah, it's stuff I like to think about, but I don't know. I guess I'm riding a fence on most of it. But I tend to lean skeptical. But also, you guys were talking about there's got to be life out there because the universe is so vast. And we're finding that to be more and more true as we discover more and more Goldilocks zone planets.
Right.
The planets that can have liquid water. And that's pretty much what you need.
That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah. The only thing with that is there's another factor in there that we're not considering, and that's time. Every planet doesn't evolve at the same pace or start evolving at the same time, and the universe is infinitely ancient and will be going on for a lot longer. So it's kind of like having life on different planets at the same time is similar to me saying, giving you like a paragraph to read, you and 10 other friends, and saying, read it sometime in the next 7 days. What are the chances you're all going to be reading it at the same time?
Right, right.
You know, it's kind of like that with life. There's another factor to consider, but there's been some studies, there's been a theory posted about red dwarf stars possibly being able to support life where we previously didn't think they would. And if that's the case, and I'm trying to remember the cosmologist's name that, yeah, let me see if I can see it. Astrophysicist and cosmologist A.B. Loeb posted the theory that if that's true, the evolutionary process is going to take much longer. It's not a perfect biosphere like Earth.
Right.
This planet is perfect for life as we understand it, obviously, being the only life we understand. But if it's possible for red stars to have these planets in the Goldilocks zone and to create life despite the much dimmer light, we're looking at a very populated universe come a few billion or maybe even trillion years. The likelihood of life developing is greater as it goes on.
And it's it's what Joe and I have said before. Right now, it doesn't have to be sentient life. And, sure. You know,
be bacteria.
It's not Klingons and Bajorans, but there, mm-hmm. there has to be, we're all gamblers. We've all sat down at blackjack tables. I know both of you very well. You know what I mean? You're going to gamble that in an ever-expanding universe, there's no life at all.
Oh yeah, and especially now that we're discovering, like at one time we thought it was sort of unique to have rocky planets in the Goldilocks zone with the perfect star and exactly what we have here in the solar system. We were discovering that's not true. There's a lot more out there than we thought. And if the more there is out there, the more we can, the greater the likelihood we're going to find life like ours. And that's, you know, it's not, you know, we don't have the propulsion to travel there or anything, but cosmically speaking, these are all fairly close to us.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, 100 light years, 75 light years. But the chance of two intelligent lives, like civilizations, kind of lining up in a timeline as vast as the birth and death of a universe, and when you think of it that way, the likelihood becomes much less, but oh. not impossible.
Oh, hell, dude, there's no intelligent life in this podcast. And you sat down with us.
Yeah, I was going to say before, you know, I'm glad that you're defining some of these words, because I'm sure some of our listeners are smart, but
it ain't us.
If you didn't tell me what that word that you said before, what the definition was, I wouldn't have known at all. You know, you got to use smaller words with us.
Me, Lakey, prison guard. Oh, well, listen, dude, I really want to thank you for blessing us with your time tonight and sharing with
oh,
us.
Oh, sure. I had fun and happy to come back on anytime, too.
Awesome. We're going to hold you to that.
Okay.
All right, brother.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, thanks for having me.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so right now we have a call that we had received from our hotline. 845-379-1331.
Segway.
See, I waited for you to say it that time. From a new friend, Bill Van Vagel. He is a podcast host of Land of the Creeps. It's a horror movie podcast. And Phantom Galaxy. And he had some really nice words to say to us. So we're going to play the whole thing. And he also has a couple questions that he's had tasked us to answer, so we will do that after I'm done playing this sound clip.
We actually put thought into his questions.
Absolutely,
it is impressive. If I had put as much thought into studying for sergeant, I would have been a sergeant 10 years ago.
All right, so here we go. Here's Bill Van Vagel. Oh, by the way, his links to his podcast will also be in our show notes, as well as J.K. Woodward's links as well.
Hello, Joe and Tom, you ghost hacks you. This is Bill Van Vagel from the Land of the Creeps podcast and the Phantom Galaxy podcast. Just calling in because I'm getting to know you guys, loving your podcast. Thought I'd throw my sport behind it. I love that you're independent. You take money from no one. You do your own thing. And that's what the viewers and the listeners really want. I got to say, I love your intro music. Somebody did a good job on that. And you have a wonderful concept. Ghosts are freaky. I don't care what religion, what area of the world, what denomination you are. Ghosts freak the hell out of everybody. I like you guys. You're honest. You have a forthrightness. Is that a word? Forthrightness in your speech. And you can tell you have a genuine love for what you do. And most of all, you're real people. You have real day jobs. This is not anything that you're doing for money. You're doing this just to help the people and to entertain, which I love. And I thought I would give you guys a couple questions based on my rumblings in my head, what I thought you guys could answer for the audience and for myself. So here's two questions, hard hitting. You're going to have to think a little bit and answer them. So here you go. Number one. Which haunted site would you like to visit if money or time were of no object? So anywhere in the world, could be in your backyard, could be in New Zealand, could be in Africa, could be in Canada, could be Antarctica for all I know. Or it could be some jail given your job that you've always wanted to visit. Where would you like to go if time and money were no object? And secondly, I just thought for a lot of fun, what celebrity would you love to go on a ghost hunt with? Like, I think somebody like Jack Black would be fun. Or maybe going out with Morgan Freeman would freak you out. Or maybe you want a female presence. I don't know. What celebrity would you love to go out on a ghost hunt with? Or even a ghost walk with? That would be cool too. Anyways, have a great show, guys. I know you're going to be fantastic. I look forward to possibly collaborating in the future. Keep it up. Keep the listeners entertained. And keep on keeping spooky.
Hey, thanks again, Bill, for all the nice words.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I got to admit, that was cool.
The check is in the mail. No, that was very, very awesome, and can't thank you enough for putting your support behind us and all the nice words that you said. And I've been actually talking to him quite some bit on Facebook lately, because I'm trying to get our official website going, but I suck at doing it. So he's been helping me along with his co-host of Land of the Creeps, Nathan. So they're definitely going to be helping me out a little bit to get that started.
Cool. Because right now it's so basic, I don't even want to tell anybody what it is.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know what I'm doing yet. So you want to...
Let me just stop. And maybe I missed it the first time of Bill's voicemail. He said that there's money. Bill, thank you, but I'll sign up for the money. He's like, yeah, it's great. You guys don't take money. Whoa, wait a minute. We didn't know there was money. Something we got to sign, somebody we got to talk to. Who? What?
Joe Rogan, I'm coming for you. It's been a while since I mentioned that.
And because I know you're not going to say it yourself, Bill mentioned the music. That was all you. The intro and the outro music was all Ghost Joe.
Yeah, I mean, it was all about, I didn't want to pay anybody else to do something that I might be able to do myself. So, I tried my hand at it. So you want to get started with the questions?
All right. He said, where would you like to go haunted? Anywhere. As far as jails, the only jail that I've ever wanted to visit was Alcatraz. Yeah, same. just because of the whole Clint Eastwood movie, the whole, Capone was there. But that's it. It's just another closed jail for me. And thank you, King Cuomo. There's three more closed jails in New York as of this morning. Don't get me started on that. Way different podcast. Oh, one day I'll get on this mic and scream about what I think about that putz. Anyway, I don't know if it's haunted. And I'll be honest with you, I was actually planning a trip to this place because it's so desolate and abandoned and such a historical place that I wanted to go there. And I was in the process of booking it, and the missus caught me because I was going to surprise her with it. And she's like, there's no fucking way I'm going there. Are you out of your mind? Okay, so I totally misread that situation. But I've always wanted to go to Chernobyl. So I've always wanted to go there and visit. Don't know that it's haunted. but it's along those lines. I think if I'm going to do an investigation, for lack of a better word, I'm going to go to Gettysburg and spend time and money at Gettysburg because, Joe, you know me. I'm fascinated with that period in America. I'm fascinated with the whole town of Gettysburg, and I'm fascinated with the ghost stories that come out of there.
So who would you take on a ghost hunt with you?
The missus wanted to go to Ozzy.
Oh, you took my idea, man.
No way.
I swear.
That's the missus's pick. That ain't my pick. All right, so your pick is Ozzy?
Well, I'll elaborate a little bit.
Okay, because she said you go on. She goes, it would be more comical than anything because that guy don't know where he is anyway. But I'm going to take one out of left field that Joe, if you thought about it, you'd never think I would pick. If I have any celebrity going on a ghost walk with me, it's going to be Mark Anthony.
Mark Anthony.
I swear to God. Now, yeah, listen, I'm married to a Dominican broad, so I've seen him like 6 times in concert. But that is one suave motherfucker. That ghost could pop out in front of him. He's just going to be like, hola. You know what I mean? Ain't nothing going to fucking shake that guy, right, bro? That's the guy you want on a ghost adventure.
All right. All right.
Not one of them guys on TV screaming, ooh.
Snack bagel.
Yeah. Plus, Mark can give you in 2 languages. You know, someone's haunting it in Spanish. He'll tell you all about it. Go ahead. Let me hear yours.
All right. So the places that I would love to go for a ghost hunt. I would also go with Alcatraz. I almost went there for a tour ghost hunt thing when I went out to LA back 10 years ago, but not LA, that's in San Francisco. But when I went out to California about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, but I was stupid and I didn't realize that I had to schedule in advance, you know, for the tour. So I wasn't able to go, but Alcatraz definitely would be up there. But I think if, like he had said, if time and money were of no object, I would go with the Bran Castle, which is Vlad the Impaler's castle in Romania.
Okay.
I think that would be pretty crazy. I mean, Vlad the Impaler, you know, if anybody doesn't know, that's who they called Count Dracula, is Vlad the Impaler. But he was one serious asshole that used to kill a lot of people. And, you know, he has a gigantic castle in Romania. I'm sure it's creepy as all hell. And I mean, I would not go on that ghost hunt by myself though.
No, definitely hell not. No. Yeah. I wasn't going to go to Chernobyl by myself,
but yeah, that's definitely my pick as far as that. For who I would like to go on a ghost hunt with now. Yeah. I had said Ozzy, because like your wife had said, it would be hysterical. You know, it took me a little while to think about it because I'm saying, well, should I pick, you know, like a female, like Scarlett Johansson or something like that? Or should I pick, you know, somebody that would be kind of funny? So I actually came to a conclusion that I kind of picked a little bit of both here. I've kind of had a little bit of a celebrity crush on her for a long time. Kelly Osbourne, I would love to actually bring on a ghost hunt with me. I've always thought that she was, you know, kind of adorable, and she's Ozzy's daughter, so she still has that crazy Osbourne personality. Plus, she could put in a good word.
Yeah, you get the sense of humor, but better look.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, so those are my picks actually. You know, at first I was thinking maybe, you know, a comedian like Jim Carrey would probably be kind of funny too.
No, Kevin Hart.
Oh, Kevin Hart would be fun.
You want to take a comedian somewhere? Have you ever seen him and The Rock just riffing on each other? That is one funny motherfucker right there.
So, yeah, again, thank you very much to Bill for, you know, sending us that voicemail at 845-379-1331.
Segway.
You could also email me at joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com. And you could go on our official Facebook group, the Ghost Hacks Podcast. But you could find our podcast. I'm sure you're listening to it now, but you could find it on any of the major podcasting platforms. So, yeah. So thank you for everybody that contributed today. It was awesome. Thank you very much, J.K. Woodward.
I had a good time. I had a good time.
You had a lot of cool things to say, and we're definitely going to have you back on, as well as hopefully many other people that would like to come on. Celebrity, you know, maybe some people that are involved in, you know, any kind of paranormal thing, you know, to come on the show, and we'll interview you and have a good time, man.
We'll lower your property values.
And your intelligence.
And your intelligence just a touch.
So it looks like that's it, man. That's episode 6.
And all right.
All right. Have a good night, everybody. And
see ya.
Hope you have a great holiday. And that's it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and find us on Facebook groups. If you have any paranormal experiences you would like to share, please email joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com. And we may even read your submission on the air. Have a good night, and don't forget to change your shorts.